Hi, this is Todd Agasawara. It's April 13th, 2023. I typed it wrong in my notes. This is Bobby's Podcast 455. Today, my co-host, the good Dr. John Westfall, is not with me, but I do have a very, very special guest. His name is Kieran Garcia. He's a senior modern work specialist from Microsoft, and I asked him because, you know, Microsoft has been releasing a lot of really interesting tools over the last 3-4 months, I guess. A lot of it's in preview mode. A lot of it is very new to all of us, really, unless you work for Microsoft, I guess. And I just had questions as a relatively new retiree who doesn't have access to enterprise. What's the difference between some of the enterprise and consumer and commercial and government and all of that? So, you know, people know what to expect when. And I just got a lot of questions. I didn't even really put them in a good order for Kieran, but thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I know how busy you must be.
It's no problem. I appreciate you having me.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of my questions have sort of, since we first made contact, have sort of become clearer. So I'm going to start, you know, since now the consumer side is most interesting for me, and it's the least interesting for you, but I'm really interested in Copilot for Office, which I have only seen demos of. Is that only going to be an enterprise service / product, or is Copilot for Office components going to be available from consumers too at some point?
So I appreciate you starting off with me going off script from an official Microsoft standpoint.
Sorry.
There's been no official announcement here.
Okay.
Kind of unfortunately going to be a bit of a theme on release info. But okay. I mean, if I were a betting man, I'd say this is going to come to consumers at some point, but timelines are currently impossible to predict.
Alrighty. And that's fine. I mean, even, you know, when I had the enterprise stuff, you know, we'd get timelines for things and sometimes things that appear early and sometimes things that appear late. But on the government side where I used to work, it was always after commercial, and I was always kind of looking at reports or reviews, I should say, saying, oh yeah, this is great, and you know, you should use it. And I go, I wish I could, but I get it. I get it.
I hear that daily.
moving aside a little bit from Copilot, I was really surprised that Microsoft Loop, which I thought was going to be enterprise only, appeared in at least preview for my consumer Microsoft 365 subscription. And I was just wondering, you know, how it's envisioned to work on the enterprise side. I've seen the demos, and I've seen, you know, how you can create loop components that say there's a table, and then you share it a link via email, and the person can now see it. Just the table itself from the whole loop page, edited in, for example, Microsoft Word and all of that kind of stuff. And I was just wondering, you know, how you see those components being used, and if there's a kind of a phased approach to what's going to be supported first. I noticed on the consumer side, it works. Microsoft Loop works, but I think I couldn't see it if I was in a browser version of something. I had to use the app or vice versa. And just trying to get a feel for how Microsoft is looking at Loop as a rollout in terms of making sure people get the various components they need working, you know, it's going to work in Word now, but not in PowerPoint or vice versa, that sort of thing.
So this is one where my role is a specialist in California state and local government.
Mm-hmm.
And in the government cloud, we are not releasing Loop, and it's not even on the roadmap right now.
Okay.
So it's something that I personally haven't played around with too much, just because my customers can't really touch it. And I try not to play with things that I'm going to start giving them wrong answers or things that are not going to be available to them.
So it's exactly the opposite of what I thought, that Loop would be an enterprise and not consumer. It's actually right now it's consumer and not enterprise. Really interesting. Because my other question, which we don't have to discuss, but my other question was going to be, how are they going to handle sensitivity of documents? But again, it's not an issue right now.
I actually absolutely can't answer that one, because it's relatively the same with anything that's going to be involved with any kind of any tools utilizing OpenAI.
Okay.
Any Loop components or any AI components are going to be fully integrated with your Microsoft 365 environment.
Uh-huh.
So any compliance and sensitivity tags will be taken into consideration, and it absolutely has to meet all those compliance standards from day one.
Okay.
So none of the AI tools are going to be used. Your customer data won't be used to teach the AI tool as a whole. It's mm-hmm. only going to be the AI tools in your environment. So the data will never.
Okay. But as far as, you know, let me ask you this question, then jumping off loop and going to Microsoft Teams, which was, I have to say, one of my favorite tools, and I kind of miss a lot of the features it has as a consumer-only person now. Although I noticed Teams is picking up a lot, Teams for Consumers is picking up a lot of features recently. In Microsoft Teams, there's a feature that allows you to summarize online meetings, which I assume includes voice speech transcription as well as text chats. Are sensitivity labels going to be applied to that?
Absolutely. So one of the primary concerns over the last, 10 years or so, I'd say Microsoft has become a premier data security company. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that we've gone about that is by building tools into the compliance suite. And if we were to have any kind of breach there where it didn't match compliance when somebody's tools were built correctly, I mean, mm-hmm. we just would lose all of our customers with it. So it's something that we take extremely seriously. And anything that's going to be done in your environment, as long as any compliance tooling is set up, it's going to automatically make sure it hits any standards that you need it to.
I see. Interesting. And so are there some of the features that enable this automatic summary of this automatic summary, sorry, Siri thought I was talking to it. This automatic, because I it's probably something I'll never use, but I'm really curious about it because I use Teams meetings so much over the, you know, especially during the pandemic while I was still, well, before retirement, is how do you apply labels to a chat?
So the sensitivity labels won't necessarily be applied to the chat. Mm-hmm. The way that it works is there's a new suite of tools, a new set of functionality coming out in Teams called Teams Premium. That's where the intelligent recap comes from, where it starts automatically taking notes and breaking the thing into chapters and things like that. Where you can start applying sensitivity labels is there's also security features in Teams Premium. And it basically allows you to set up different meetings in different ways. So, like, the one I always use is if you're going to be talking about financial records in a meeting, mm-hmm. you're going to want very different security procedures than if you're talking about office birthday parties.
Absolutely. And is Teams Premium something, you know, I retired at the end of 2022, and I remember reading about Teams Premium, but it was not something that had been discussed with me as an upcoming kind of pricing thing. So I've never seen, and I'm not going to ask you for prices, but basically is Teams Premium something that is available now as an add-on to a Teams Enterprise license, or is that something that's coming soon?
It is. It is available in commercial, and it's available in government cloud as well. The one thing that hasn't been released yet as part of it is the AI features. So the automated note-taking, that's not coming out in the commercial tenants until the end of this month. And it doesn't have a firm release date for GCC, but mm-hmm. the timeline is looking like summer right now for it to come out.
Right. And for folks who haven't worked in government, the GCC is the government tenant. And as a former government worker, I was always waiting and looking with a lot of envy for my friends who had commercial tenants. Way before me.
Getting something 2 or 3 months after, which is when the AI features in Teams Premium are slated to come out, is actually pretty nice. A lot of the time when I'm talking to my customers, I tell them be ready for a 6 to 12 month wait.
Yes. And that is, you are being very realistic. That is often what I had to wait for. I think before we started this, the recording, I was telling Kieran that I remember waiting for about a year for Microsoft Lists to occur, which was one of my favorite tools. And I'm really thrilled that Microsoft Lists, which was enterprise only when I retired, is now available in the consumer 365 subscription. So I was really thrilled to see that happen, because I just found it such a useful feature. I used to call it SharePoint for humans. I mean, I know all of this is SharePoint, but you know, SharePoint Lists for humans. Because it was so much easier to deal with than SharePoint list itself, in my opinion. I'm sure other people disagree with me, but that's just my opinion. okay, that's great. So what's in Teams Premium now? What was moved? I guess my question is, what's brand new in Teams Premium that we never had in Teams? And I think transcription, maybe speech transcription, and a few other things were moved out of the standard package and into Premium. Is that true?
So transcription itself is staying as we're going to call it Teams Core and Teams Premium moving forward. And transcription is staying in Teams Core.
Oh, good.
And it is live translation to other languages that's moving over to Teams Premium.
Ah, that makes sense.
There's also some personalization aspects. If I personally love purple, so I would never change Teams. It's perfect for me. But if companies do want to get their own customized branding, they can do things like that. They can get organizational backgrounds, things like that. And there's also some other security features in there, like watermarking to help deter any kind of document sharing. And there's also an additional end-to-end encryption option that basically locks down a lot of the collaborative options, like recording, captioning, bringing in people, like call transfers, call merging. That one, I often say, you know, you're not going to use it every day, but if you're ever discussing the nuclear codes over Teams, that's the one you'd want to be using.
Yep.
All right. And of course, the AI features.
Yeah. And so I wanted to ask, do you now have access to the AI features in the Office components?
I don't yet. I am just itching to have them. I spend 90 minutes at the end of every day doing all my follow-ups for the day.
And yeah.
I'd love to get 5 or 6 hours back a week.
No kidding, right? I hear you. I mean, you know, I'm excited and I don't even have to do any of that anymore. So I'm excited for other people who are going to have tools I'll never get a chance to use, but that's okay. Another question is, I mentioned earlier that Microsoft Teams itself has become much, for the consumer version, has become much more closer to the look and feel and functionality of the enterprise. And I know you're not consumer, but is that something you've been hearing from customers who use both amongst your clients?
Yeah, I would say that I've been only doing this for about 10 years now, originally a partners doing deployment work, but always, you know, I've already been through Link and Skype for Business.
Yeah.
I would say the amount of effort and the amount of investment we have put into Teams is the most that I've ever seen us go all in on a platform.
Yeah.
It really seems like all of the development efforts that we're doing is trying to make Teams as useful as possible and do as many things as possible. And I think the sheer level that you're seeing it go into the consumer portion as well is more proof that this is where we're headed and where our investments are going to be going for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. And since I think most of, well, that's not true. So many of my listeners are mostly consumers, but I know there's a bunch of old friends still in enterprises that listen. On the consumer side, Teams, if you haven't looked at it lately, you should take another look at it. It's the same app, you know, whether you're using it for work or for consumer. It just looks really different, or it used to look really different, and now it doesn't. It looks, I'm speaking with Kieran now from my consumer account, and which is the only thing I have. And it, boy, the chat window and the calling window looks, whew, I'm going to say exactly like my old enterprise one, which it didn't before. It was completely different. So it was a pleasant surprise over the last couple of months as I kind of got my old UI UX back from what it used to be.
If I didn't have to sign into the separate client, I wouldn't be thinking twice about this being a work meeting as well.
Right? Yeah, really surprised. And I guess another question, in terms of who has what, is Microsoft Designer. It's been available since I think around January, maybe December, in a preview mode. It's still in preview. And I signed up to get preview access, which I just got like last week. Is this something that's going to be enterprise and consumer or consumer only? I couldn't quite figure out where it landed.
Everything I know about Designer is just based off of blog posts and secondhand feedback.
Okay.
I personally don't have an ounce of design sense in my body, and you can just ask my wife and she'll confirm it. But what I do know is the web preview out now, it's basically the stated goals about it are just collecting feedback and making changes as necessary. So I'd say that this seems to be a little bit closer to almost between alpha and beta rather than being ready to roll out. So I haven't seen anything official in either direction, but it as you mentioned, with that preview out now, it is available to play with.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And you might, unlike the other previews that Microsoft made available, like when Bing Copilot went into preview, access was instantaneous. But Microsoft Designer, I think I waited about 3 months after I signed up to get access. And boy, was that wait worth it. It is, you know, you said you don't have this ounce of design sense. That's exactly who it's for from what I can see. It is it's a step above Bing Copilot Creator. You know, which uses DALL-E, I guess they all use DALL-E, but it is, I did a little blog thing here, which I'll send you a link to. Basically I asked it to create a poster for a mythical, Doodle a Day conference next year. And I gave it some, you know, prompts, and it did everything except, putting a doodle in the middle, you know, a little drawing in the middle of everything else, which was great, but it actually gave me the right space and the ability to add my own artwork. So you could go in and put in a photo or, you know, a graph or whatever on your own, which I don't think you can do in DALL-E and Bing Creator, but it was quite good. I really got a lot out of it, you know, just playing with it for a few minutes. So I think you'll enjoy it when it's available.
Definitely. I can use all the help I can get in prompting, and you know, this is my work that I created. There you go.
Oh, and the other nice thing about it, but since you haven't played with it, the other nice feature I liked about it is it by default it's on or off? I can't remember. I think by default it puts a little you know, created with Microsoft Designer tag or something, in a like a bottom corner. But you can turn it off. So, you know, if you don't want to attribute it to Creator and you just want to pass it off as your own, it lets you do it. It's not a big deal to Designer. So that was quite nice, actually.
It might fool some new customers, but anybody who's spoken with me at all would understand it was not mine.
Yeah. So, you know, I know you're busy and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but is there anything else you'd like to share? I mean, okay, so the things I've learned from you is Loop is not available in the GCC yet, or actually even been announced. It is available in preview mode for consumers, at least for me and other people. And same thing for Designer, it appears. And you explained a bit about the Teams Premium versus Core. And thanks for that, even though it's not something that really, you know, really bothers me anymore because I don't have to pay the licenses. That was really interesting because, you know, I do talk to people every now and then about what's happening, especially on my podcast with my friend John Westfall. And so it's always good to, you know, at least keep up to date even on things that really don't directly impact me anymore. Is there anything else that's been recently publicly announced that you'd like to, you know, talk about or note that maybe most of us might have missed?
The last thing that I would want to mention is just talking about Copilot for M365.
Okay.
So while Teams Premium's AI features are all about intelligently recapping what's happening, Copilot is all about being generative. So you can ask Copilot things in natural language, what you want it to do. So Copilot, prepare me a TPS report template based on this meeting that just happened. And it will scrape some of the data and put something together. This initial iteration, it's basically designed to have a first draft out. So it's still something that people need to go out and cover themselves and make sure they're editing and going back with it. But if you've seen some of the, we did an announcement video that had some people using it in some scenarios, and it's very cool.
It does
definitely, it's definitely something that'll help kickstart any projects that you're doing and any kind of emails, and help summarize and make longer or more concise whichever direction you need to go. It was just announced earlier this month, and it has no release dates yet for anything. No commercial, no government, no consumer release dates. But it is it's the thing I'm most excited about, and it's what most of my conversations, I feel, for the last month have been about.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. You know, I know people talking about these features being sort of maybe a threat to some people, but personally, I see it as a great tool, because, quite frankly, most people, including myself, are terrible at meeting notes. You know, we're like, oh yeah, I wrote down the notes. You know, and it's typed in. It's just that, you know, now I have to go in and check for typos and summarize it, and you know, go double check things. And now this should really help speed up that process, if nothing else. I don't know if there'll be better notes, but hopefully at least it'll be faster. Says, you know, you don't have to go to somebody, you know, I've been waiting for that summary document for about a week now. You going to do that?
Definitely. And I to go back to your comment on people being a little worried with this, I think every single major automation milestone that's happened throughout all of history has frightened people at the time, because things are going to change.
Yes.
So some of the jobs that existed previously suddenly may actually be automated. But what that does open up is, every time this happens, there are lots of things that we haven't even considered yet that are going to be new jobs that need to be done, and new ways to interact with this technology that only come about through experience and through thinking it through all the way. And, you know, nobody's had enough time yet with this brand new technology to think through all of the consequences of where it can go. And one thing that's very cool about Microsoft is we have an AI ethics teams. We have multiple ones of them who are trying to come up with every way that this could go wrong and make sure that we're ahead of them, and not releasing anything until we've really given it the full consideration. So I do understand what new things can be a little bit, make people apprehensive, but it also provides so much opportunity for the future.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I spent my entire career, you know, watching change happen to me, because of me, in spite of me. But the only thing consistent was change, you know, for sure. It's a very different world. I was just, you know, as in retirement, one of the things I've been doing is cleaning up this thing called Swedish death cleaning. Literally decades of stuff in my home that I have, you know, and you would not, as a person, I assume, is much younger than me, you would not believe the stuff I dug up. I found an old printer, a dot matrix printer. I don't even know if you've seen one. I found an old dot matrix printer that I had built. I had soldered in a switch. There's wires coming out of that I put in into the printer, and a switch. And that's because in old days, if you had, depending on what kind of computer you were using, what kind of OS you were using, you know, PC desktop type, either PC or Apple or TRS-80, you know, that old. When you printed out text files, sometimes it was just a line feed and sometimes it was carriage return line feed. And my switch went to the Molex. There was a little Molex thing that you would generally set it if you only used one operating system. And, you know, you'd forget about it. But since I used multiple, I had to build a little switch and solder it in so that I could switch between line feed and carriage return line feed when I printed out text files. I mean, you know, that's how much change, you know, things you would not have to even think about these days.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, too. Just the more technologies that come out, the more change accelerates.
Absolutely, absolutely. I also found a joystick I had to build because nobody actually sold them back then. But and I don't think anybody uses joysticks anymore, come to think of it, except maybe in the military. But anyhow, hey, Kieran, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I really am grateful for the time you spent setting up this call with me and speaking with me and educating me. You know, this is something, as I said, a lot of this I'm never going to see, but I'm just still real curious about. And I really appreciate you answering some of the questions and clarifying some things for me that I didn't realize I had, like, completely backwards, like Microsoft Loop, for example.
It's no problem. I really appreciate you having me on. This is a very exciting time to be in tech with all of these changes coming out. And it's definitely something that I been talking about day in and day out and happy to share with you.
Thank you. And even though I'm sort of, I guess, technically out of tech, or at least out of enterprise tech, you know, again, it's something that I spent so much of my life doing, and especially the last couple of years. And I get a lot of pushback from friends who are not big Teams fans, but I am and was a huge Teams fan, and pushed it heavily during the pandemic just to get stuff done. And I'm really, you know, grateful for the products and services that you guys provided us, along with a lot of other vendors. You know, it wasn't just Microsoft. It was the other, you know, big names too. But Teams played a huge role in my work life. And so that was just awesome. And I'm glad to catch up with you and see what's been happening since I retired last December. It's amazing. You know, it's only been 3.5 months and so much has changed already. It's sort of amazing. I'm just, you know, it's good. It's all good. It's all good. Hey, Keir, thank you again. And to our, as John and I joke, our fives of listeners, I hope you really enjoyed this and appreciate Kieran Garcia's taking the time. He's a senior modern work specialist with Microsoft.